Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
Missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And it is suddenly fall. Here we are.
I'm not going to lie. I'm loving this weather.
What is it, 80 there?
No, we're in like the mid 60s. So it's like perfect.
I will say it's really good sleeping weather.
It is really good sleeping weather.
But that aside, Melissa, it makes me laugh because Melissa had given me the name of the case yesterday. I didn't have any time to, you know, do a broad overview or like just plug it into Google or anything like that. But I think we both do this every time where we try to give some details and then both of us are like, no, don't tell me. Wait until we start recording. So I guess my point is, like, we get so excited and we want to jump right in. And then we have to remind each other, like, stop. We want, like, our genuine surprise and authenticity when we start to record.
Yeah.
So I put a stop to that.
It's funny because, yeah, and I feel like, though, it's because, like, I actually called my sister about the Amy Fitzpatrick case because I thought that one of my statements came out really, really strong. And I was like, I just need you to, like, hear me out for a second. And then I ended up telling her half the story. And she was like, I wanted to listen to your episode. And I was like, I know. I just get excited and just keep talking. And then you know everything.
I know. Exactly. But, I mean, you bring up a really interesting point about how, I don't want to say paranoid, but we really perseverate, maybe in the best way, about how we deliver stuff. No one likes to be misunderstood, right? I mean, no one likes it.
Oh, agreed.
But we're on a platform where people really don't know us. And then if we say something in the most, it's not deliberate, but it can come out as strong or something, we just really don't want to be misunderstood. The biggest messages we always drive home is, like, we have a relatively, as best as we can, non-judgmental stance. We don't victim shame. We don't swear, even if we do.
We even try to, and what I was concerned with is my statement about her mother's boyfriend. And I said, you know, we even try to give people that we think are involved the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
But either way. All right. So we're going to dive into today's case. And it's a roller coaster. I'm not going to lie to you.
I like a roller coaster.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about Jenna Van Gelderen. Basically, I'm going to give you a super high-level overview of her childhood, and then we'll dig into everything else. Jenna is a tiny girl. At 25, she was 4'11". Okay, so like barely 5 feet. She lived in Atlanta, Georgia, with her mom, her brother, and her father. Her family's super close. She, in elementary school, is actually diagnosed with a learning disorder, and she struggled making friends. So one of her friends was interviewed and said that, like, she asks a lot of questions and constantly is seeking clarity. And because of that, a lot of people found her annoying.
Okay.
I'm going to fast forward for a second, and then we're going to go back a little bit, and I'm sorry about that because I hate it, but a couple years before her disappearance, or a year before her disappearance, she was actually diagnosed with high-functioning autism, which explained a lot. She was socially awkward. She had a tough time reading social cues. It made her super impressionable, more likely to be coached or manipulated.
Sure.
Her childhood friend was saying that it made sense because she was so eager to have friends and to be liked. She sometimes let people take advantage of her.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind, too. She thrived on routine and predictability. That's where she did the best.
Yeah, and I think, if I'm wrong, correct me, but the type of personality that you're describing is, because I think a lot of people might not even have a diagnosis on the spectrum, but like maybe a type A, a little bit obsessive compulsive about schedules and things like that. That's kind of the person that I'm visualizing. Like you could tell them a joke and they might be like, wait, is that real? Is that?
Yeah. So my mom actually worked with special ed kids when she was a teacher for a long time. So I called her when I was writing this and I wanted her to like kind of, I wanted to explain how Jenna's personality came across and have her like validate some of the things. And I wanted her to explain some of the autistic cues.
Yep.
And, she said everything sounds almost textbook. You know, everything almost sounds like that's textbook autistic. And the only thing that she, and she's going to kill me for saying she said this, but was what she wondered why she wasn't diagnosed till she was 24.
Sure.
Because usually it's caught in schools. And she said that a lot of kids are labeled learning disorder in elementary school. And then as they progress, people realize it's actually on the spectrum, not a learning disorder. It just presents itself as such.
And I'm sure that she overcompensated in other areas that she maybe didn't do so well in.
Exactly. So that probably plays into her disappearance, but it's not a fault of any or a detriment to her at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go to early 2017. Jenna is 25 at this time, okay? And like I said, she came from a close family. She is arrested and or detained by police. I'm not sure if she actually was, like, booked into jail, but, like, she was charged.
Okay.
And she also got fired from her job because she was charged with stealing $3,000 from her job.
Okay.
This was the only job she's ever had at a pet store. Jenna loved animals. Now, multiple sources say that she was stealing the money for quote-unquote friends and giving it to them.
Right. Okay.
Now, that actually makes sense as to the easily manipulated part of her personality.
Sure. Yeah.
So her dad didn't like this path that she was heading down and certainly didn't like her friends. So he starts going through her phone bill, finding because it was on his plan.
I see.
Finding out who she was communicating with and addressing it with Jenna and with the people individually. Now, this can be viewed a couple different ways. If Jenna's a teenager, sure, go for it. You know, but she's 25. And her dad says, like, he needs to think about her disability as well. But Jenna's 25 and saying, like, I'm an adult, back off.
It's a really hard line. And I don't know that we could say really anything either way. We don't know the intricacies.
Oh, I think they're both right.
Things that she struggled with at home that made him feel as if he needed to intervene.
And I think they're both right. He as her father, you know, she's getting in trouble, doing the wrong things, wants to, like, put her back on the right track. But she's like, I'm an adult. Like, leave me alone.
Sure.
So Jenna fires back. She gets another cell phone in her own name. She also moves out from her parents' house and starts renting a room in an apartment with an acquaintance. Now, it sounds like she also stayed with some friends and her parents sometimes, but that's generally where she was living.
Okay.
Okay? This all happens, like, early 2017. August of 2017, Jenna's parents are going to go on vacation. They're going to Canada. Now, I don't know if I said it before, but they're in Atlanta, Georgia. They asked Jenna to stay at the house because they have a 19-year-old sick cat.
What?
And I don't mean, like, sick, like, has a cold now. I mean, on injectable medicine. He's 19.
Cats aren't supposed to live that long. I mean, I love cats. So, love dogs. I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Right. So they asked Jenna, will you house sit and stay with the cat? And Jenna's like, of course, that's fine. I'll totally do it. Great. So August 18th, she's staying at her parents' with this cat. She leaves her parents' house at 10:30 p.m. to go meet her boyfriend at his apartment. August 19th at 1:15 in the morning. So now we're in the early morning hours of the 19th. Jenna makes a phone call to a female friend in South Carolina. They have a phone conversation. Nothing is out of the ordinary. She's back at her parents' house, just like talking.
Okay.
At 2:15 a.m., she texts the friend saying, now I'm going to sleep. Good night, basically.
Right.
Now, the morning of the 19th, the actual morning, what we consider like 7, 8, 9 in the morning,
yeah.
You know, a vet is supposed to come by and give the cat an injection.
Oh, good. There's a vet that's coming to help.
Yes.
Okay.
So the vet, Jenna was just there basically to like make sure the cat's fine, but a vet stops by for house calls.
Got it.
Or a vet tech. I don't know if it's a tech or a vet, but either way. She shows up in the morning. There's no answer. The doors are locked. So she calls Jenna's brother and says, hey, like, I'm here. No one's here. And her brother's like, well, no, Jenna's there. And she, the vet tech's like, no one's here. So her brother goes over to the house. He opens up the door. The lights are all on. The TV is on. But Jenna's not there.
Okay.
So he's like, well, that's weird. It's completely out of character for Jenna, who thrives on routine and stability.
Yes.
So they call Jenna. Obviously, there's no answer. Calls are going right to voicemail. And he swings by that evening, again, his parents' house. Maybe she went out and she's here now. No Jenna. So now he's calling his parents, being like, something's up. She wouldn't do this. We don't know where she is. She's not answering her phone. And he starts walking around the house. Before, he was just like, she's not here, whatever. Now he's looking through the house to see if anything's out of the ordinary. And I totally understand that. In the morning, he just swung by and was like, maybe she went out for breakfast. Who knows what she, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And now, but now he's like, okay, like, is something missing? And we'll get into the house in a minute or two.
Okay.
But I want to go to August 20th, the next day. Her brother calls the police and reports Jenna missing. Her parents get on a plane and fly home from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Police essentially say, like, so there's no sign of a break-in. And your 25-year-old daughter, who you checked her cell phones and she moved out, just isn't returning your calls. Cool. Not missing.
Yes. We know how this goes.
At this point, the parents and the brothers start, like, searching the house. Now, in the house are Jenna's everyday shoes. And they keep calling them her everyday shoes. So I'm gathering that she was in, like, a routine and wore literally the same pair of shoes every day.
Sure.
And those are there. Both her phone chargers are there. All her toiletries are there. However, her suitcase that she brought over to stay at her parents' is not there. Neither of her phones are there. And in the living room, there's a picture frame that the corner of the glass is cut out of the front, and the tapestry that was inside is missing. Now, the tapestry is, it's a family heirloom that Jenna's grandfather brought back from Egypt when he was there in the 40s. Okay? It's 5 feet long, but 2 feet wide.
Okay.
And it's literally pulled off the out of the frame, and the frame is still hanging on the wall.
I'm going to let you keep going.
Yeah, truthfully, I don't know how this fits in still, but it's missing. Now, I do want to say it is not valuable. It's worth like $200.
Okay.
But I don't know if someone thought it was valuable. Hold on. We'll come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
So police are just kind of like, okay, well, we'll just, you know, keep plugging away. We have this report.
Yeah.
But Jenna's dad is a lawyer. So he calls in every basic favor and thing he can do. He gets the cell phone records on the phone that he owns. And he finds out that Jenna had given her brother her email password. So they get that data. They go through Jenna's Google chats, her Facebook history, her, because they have her email, they can reset all her social media passwords.
I see. Yeah.
And log into all of them.
Perfect.
It's actually a great thing. Good for them. They gather from Jenna's Google chat history that someone, and we don't know who, they don't know who, or they're not saying who, was trying to get Jenna to go back to her apartment that night instead of go to her, being in her parents' house.
Weird.
Yeah. Police. So her parents now are doing this, their own investigation, right?
Yes.
However, on September 5th, nearly 2 weeks after she's reported missing, her car was found. So the media had reported, you know, that she was missing and the car information and all that.
Right.
Well, someone drove by her car and saw it in a, just parked on a road.
We see.
Police go, because now they're going to, you know, call it a missing persons case. The seat is pushed all the way back. It's almost out of gas. And it's about 7 miles from her parents' house. Now, all the way back should send off a little bit of signal to you because she's 4'11".
Absolutely.
In her car are her shoes. A different pair. The other pair of shoes she had.
Okay.
Her wallet. Her glasses. An unidentified person's shoes. And a phone charger that didn't go to Jenna's phones.
So that this really just indicates that there are two people. Jenna and somebody yes. else.
Now police, you know, we're going to investigate. And we're going to meet some, I have no other word for them besides shady characters.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start with the roommate she rented a room from. Police go there. And he says, well, she didn't pay rent for September. So, now mind you, she went missing in August. So, I don't know why he was like, oh, she didn't pay rent for September. Well, she's missing. But, okay. So, I was about to throw her belongings out on the street.
That's all it takes?
Amy. He refuses to let police search the apartment. But he was super helpful and put all her stuff in trash bags and gave them to her parents.
I mean, I can only assume you're being sarcastic, though.
Oh, yeah. So when her parents, listen, you'll appreciate this. Her parents go through them all, right? And they kind of, like, take inventory of what's here, what's missing, trying to, like, make sense of things. And they call the police and they say, hey, just so you know, there's no bedding in this. No pillows, no blankets, no
nothing.
Oh,
my goodness. And then there was that.
Well,
okay.
Police go back to the roommate and they say, like, hey, where's her bedding? And he was like, oh, well, she didn't have any. She slept on the floor without a pillow or a blanket. Yeah, crickets, right? Police don't have enough evidence to get a warrant. So, you know, cool.
Okay.
Want to move on to the next fun character in our story?
Yeah.
Then there's her awesome boyfriend. I really wrote her awesome boyfriend, just so you know. He tells investigators, yeah, Jenna stopped by that night at 10:30. But I actually broke up with her at the time because she was a prostitute and a drug addict.
Hey, I didn't see that twist.
Police are like, say what? Her only criminal charge is that theft.
Sure.
And by the way, I want to point out now that that has never been corroborated by any other person.
Okay.
But police and media run with this. She's now off in prostitution land, okay?
Oh, that's an
They actually make things worse by finding someone on Backpage who's using the name Jenna. Now, if you don't know what Backpage is, it's like a dark web, I guess, for criminal activity.
Yeah, I hear a lot about child trafficking and yep. things like that that occurs there.
They find someone on Backpage with the name Jenna. And tell Jenna's parents they found her. They arrest this Jenna for solicitation. And when her parents call to find out what's going on, they're like, oh, it was a different Jenna. Then police get the data from the phone her dad doesn't own. Right? And it last pinged in a wooded area about 20 minutes outside of Atlanta in Fairburn, Georgia. However, at the exact same time her phone was pinging, her license plate went through a license plate reader in the city of Atlanta.
What?
So they don't know if Jenna was with her car or her phone or in with neither.
Oh, no. Okay.
Okay, and one more thing.
Oh, yeah, okay, just lay it on.
Google data. And I'm going to throw a little plug for a different podcast in right now. If y'all haven't listened to Live and Die in L.A. in season one, go listen. They, in our opinion, I'm going to say ours. I don't think you disagree with me. They solved the case with Google data. Right?
That's my feeling, yes.
Okay. So Jenna's dad was like, we have her password. And offers up her Google data to the police. Police say it's illegally obtained, so they can't use it. Now, I assume because they're going to say, like, if there needs to be a criminal investigation, this would be considered fruit of the poisonous tree, which means everything coming out of it would be
unusable.
Right. And if that's their approach, like, okay, but find this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's worry about that first.
Right. I mean, it sounds like they already assume that she's not with us.
Well, let me tell you this. Okay. That's the end.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
There's no more information. Theories range from there was a robbery in the parents' house and she was kidnapped.
Okay.
To she left on her own accord. To she met foul play with someone she knows.
Okay.
Well, first of all, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it was foul play.
I agree with you. I don't think that she walked away.
All right. Well, let me knock those off the table first. I don't see anything. If you were going to leave your life and things were bad, wouldn't you do that right after you were arrested?
Yeah, I would agree with that statement.
Unless there was a whole bunch of continuous terrible events happening to her, I don't see a reason why at this particular time that she would choose to leave. And she also lives on her own, so it's not like she needed to elude her parents to accomplish this. She could have left at any other time. Why do it at this particular point?
I agree with you, and I do want to make it clear, if I didn't before, I don't believe the drug addict and prostitution thing is real.
If you had anything else for me to point us in that direction, I could consider it. But if there's only that one report from one person, only prompted when he
who
asked,
conveniently broke up with her the night she disappeared.
Right. Could it have happened? Could she have left? Sure. But there's really no other.
The one thing I will say is, as bad as that boyfriend looks, we know she made it back to her parents' house because she had that conversation with her friend.
That's true.
And then either she left her parents' house voluntarily with half her stuff.
Just to add more evidence to the I don't think she left her life story, is that it doesn't strike me as possible that this girl could stay hidden. I mean, if she's, you know, I don't want to say looking for friends or anything. She's social. She wants to be accepted. I don't see her as being someone that could stay hidden. I feel like there would be a trail, social media, like she would start new social media, or she would get involved on an app or something like that. So I don't know that she would be able to accomplish staying hidden.
I agree with you 100%. No, I think something happened either she left her parents' house voluntarily, in my opinion, then she'd be lured away. But I don't know how all her stuff went with her. You know, if she asked a lot of questions, right, you have to think about, like, if someone said, hey, leave your phone chargers, bring your suitcase, leave your shoes, bring this. I feel like she would be seeking clarity, trying to figure out Do you see my thought process? Like, what was happening?
Yeah, it doesn't... I mean, it doesn't make any... I hear you, but these things don't...
I just don't like that... And, I mean, part of this is what her dad's concern was. It sounds like quite a few people in her life were not upstanding, great friends. So, like, the roommate who won't give her parents her sheets. She didn't... Let's be honest. She didn't sleep on the floor with no pillow. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And then this boyfriend who's like, oh, I broke up with her because she's a prostitute. What?
What could this girl have done that would have made her a target, though?
Well, part of me wonders if someone thought Tapestry was worth a lot of money, because her parents are well-to-do.
Okay.
But they don't take anything else from the house?
Right.
You know, so I a little bit struggle with that, because they just say, grab this tapestry, and that's that? And cut it out from the front, break the corner of the glass. Don't just unhook the back, which is bizarre in and of itself.
What if whomever said they needed quick cash, and she's like, I don't have any on me, and she's looking around, and she makes the decision that maybe it's worth money, and she takes it? That's not too far off from...
Yeah, but I hear you, and I agree with you, but my only other question is... There's nothing else in her parents' house that may be worth money than that?
It could have just been a split-second decision, you know?
Yeah.
Let me take what I can carry. I don't want to ruffle through things. Maybe she had to get somewhere fast. I mean, she did leave the lights and the television on, correct?
Yes, that is true, yes.
Which tells me that she left... either very early in the morning or at night for...
Because it was dark.
At a minimum, the lights to be on, and it was likely in a hurry.
Are you assuming that she left, no one else was there? Because I don't understand packing up partially of her things.
So let's go back. What was left behind and what did she take? Or someone take?
Yep. Okay. So
she brought the suitcase, or that was just...
Yes. Well, in her house were her everyday shoes, her phone chargers, both of them, and all of her toiletries. Missing were her phones, her wallet, her suitcase, and the tapestry. Then, when we find the car, in it are a different pair of shoes, a wallet, glasses, and then a different person's shoes and phone charger. Oh, and sorry, and her suitcase was in the car as well.
So, I haven't even gotten to the who, but I have to wonder if she put the tapestry in the suitcase, because she didn't want to hold all this stuff. So, basically, she puts all the stuff in the suitcase just as a vessel to carry things easier. And then she, either the person's waiting for her in the house or going to meet her somewhere, I... would think that it's meeting somewhere, because that person would have had to walk or Uber or taxi there, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise they'd be leaving a vehicle there.
Or she went and picked them up.
Or they took separate cars but left at the same time. Either way, at some point they got in the car together, maybe to try and sell this or give it away or something.
Okay,
and that's why all those things are together. This is really just a crazy story I've concocted in my head, but maybe she wasn't using drugs. Maybe she wasn't involved in prostitution, because that only came from one person. But what if someone else was taking money to get drugs and using her? So they go to said drug dealer's house to say, hey, you know, this is worth a lot of money. Just give me drugs. They take it, laugh in their face, and then because she's in the wrong place at the wrong time, the drug dealer does something and it goes south.
Okay, but so someone else is at the house with her that Ubered there? Is that your like approach?
Or she picked up this person.
So she left the house again after she texted and said, I'm going to bed?
Possibly, yeah. Maybe... someone else got a hold of her after, like she thought she was going to go to bed.
I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
But it just didn't turn out that way.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm totally throwing this crazy scenario out there, and that's with the understanding that I still haven't addressed the possibility that she went back to her apartment and something happened there.
Which I think is a valid, but I keep coming back to, if she left from her parents' house by herself.
Yep.
Why is half her stuff gone and not gone?
I don't know.
That's where I get stuck on. You know what I mean? Is I just don't understand the partial packing.
What are the shoes in her car identified as? Do they have a name?
No, just a second set of shoes.
She has everyday shoes, or are they like going out shoes?
I don't know. I can tell you that they show her everyday shoes on the Oxygen series, and they're just a pair of like beat up sneakers.
It really just could have been accessibility.
What do you mean?
She just grabbed the shoes, the first shoes she saw, and threw them in her suitcase with that tapestry.
And then went barefoot?
Or she threw them on her feet.
And then had they end up in the, just let, someone killed her and then left them in the car?
Yeah, that is weird.
It's just so many weird things with this that I can't, like, yeah. There aren't any,
but also,
any single outliers.
I have to always wonder. I always wonder this. Like, if something ever happened to me, is there someone out there that knows every single pair of my shoes? And I don't even have 50. I have, like, 4, maybe 5 pairs of shoes.
Amy, we had this conversation about when we were talking about Robert Hoagland.
No, and you're absolutely right. And I remember you know, your husband's shoes and things like that. But there's something to be said about a women's shoe. We have shoes that we like to slip on. We have flip-flops. We have high heels. We have little booties. We have our winter boots. I'm not even a girl that has a ton of shoes.
I'm not either, and I feel the same way.
So who's to say she doesn't have a pair of slippers that she wore out of the house and her other shoes just happen to be in there?
Nothing. I mean, there's nothing to say that. But for me, what I struggle with is that there's no one outlier. You know, if you take the tapestry out, right, and you say we can make everything else make sense, but not the tapestry. Okay, fine. If you can make everything else make sense, but not the shoes, fine. But no two things fit together for me.
Okay, so we talked about all these events. We didn't really talk about whose so much. Now, from the get-go, to me, my ears perked up when you talked about the landlord.
Yeah, me too.
Everything about that scenario screams something is not right.
I mean, aside from the fact that he was like, no, you can't. Okay, so here's the only thing that I'm going to give him credit for is if she's just renting a room in his apartment, right? Maybe he doesn't want police, you know, coming in and going in his apartment because he has things there that he's not, you know, super proud of, whatever it might be.
Right.
Fine. I'm okay with that. But why not let them search her room?
I agree with you. And then her bedding's missing?
Well, she didn't have any bedding, remember? She slept on the floor with no pillows and no blankets.
Oh, I kind of misunderstood that. Okay.
No, Amy, it is missing. Come on. She doesn't actually sleep on a floor with no pillows and blankets. That's what his story is. I don't necessarily agree with that.
Well, right. So that stuff's missing. That's weird. So let's just say that he lured her back. He's the one that lured her back to her apartment.
And honestly, that would make sense because someone, according to the Google messages, someone wanted her to go back to the apartment.
Right. And what if something happened, whether he wanted to hang out and she didn't, or maybe he wanted to take things further, or even he thought he could get money out of her or something, and a fight
ensued.
Totally
reasonable.
and she got hurt. To me, that's plausible. Yeah, it absolutely does not explain the items of hers kind of dispersed between her car, left at her parents, and that tapestry. But, or what are the odds of them being completely unrelated incidents?
What do you mean? Talk to me.
Like, she wanted to get money for the tapestry and give the money to a friend. And then in a separate incident, she was lured back to her apartment and foul play took place. Would that be too wacky?
In my opinion, I think they have to be separate to some degree because it doesn't make sense that they're not.
Right.
Like I said, nothing. It's not like we can make sense of anything.
She left in a hurry, though. I really believe she left in a hurry.
And you believe she packed up half her stuff by herself?
If someone made her leave in a hurry, why pack anything?
Well, that's what doesn't make sense. Her toiletries were in a bag in the bathroom. Why not just grab the bag?
The wallet, I understand. That being essential.
That's in the car. She brought that with her. Yep. The phones?
The phones.
Well, where are they now? I'd like to know, but, you know. And okay, we didn't talk about her car hitting license plate recognition in Atlanta and her phone pinging in the woods.
I mean, that's a little bit easier for me. Like, what? If you could see Melissa's face, she's looking at me like, what are you talking about? But what if they disposed of the phones and the phones were no longer with the driver of the car?
Okay, but where is Jenna?
I hate to say it, but someone likely disposed of her body.
And then, you know what we didn't talk about, which is like your favorite go-to theory?
Sex trafficking.
Atlanta is the sex trafficking capital of the world.
And you know I always go to this theory, but I'm not 100% confident.
I mean, I think that she was likely too old, but...
But there are too many weird events that led up to her disappearance to lead me to believe that this was some random kidnapping and sold into sex trafficking.
I agree with you. But, I mean, I don't think you can talk about the city of Atlanta without talking about the potential for that.
So I can say there's a possibility, sure. There's nothing that rules it out, but there's so much more evidence to support someone she knew caused her harm.
Agreed. I don't think it is, but I just think, like I said, you can't talk about the city of Atlanta without having that, at least that, like, thought as to what may have happened.
I'd really like to talk to the boyfriend and talk about, why do you think you know that she was doing drugs and she was into prostitution? Because what if she was hanging out with people that were involved in that and he jumped to this conclusion that she was involved in it too? What if it was just mere associations?
Okay, walk me through it.
I mean, we know she was safe after she left his...
So he breaks up with her, which, by the way, it doesn't sound like she told her friend that. So take that for what it's worth.
Well, let's just say it's not true. Or she at least didn't understand that to be true. I mean, I've heard plenty of stories where someone has a hard time breaking up with another person, and it almost sounds like by the end of the breakup talk that they've backpedaled, maybe, because they don't want to hurt the other person's feelings.
Okay.
Maybe she just didn't realize it. I don't know. But his statement might have just come from a place of, she's hanging out with some seedy characters, I don't like it, and I'm breaking up with her, and therefore she must be doing it. Then that would, okay, to me, be like, there's nothing really more to the story there than this guy jumps to conclusions.
Right, and okay, so let's say that's true. How do we fit everything else in?
Wow.
And then she what? Like, we think the tapestry, we thought it was worth money, and that's why we took it?
That's the only thing that I can think of. For all we know, she could have been FaceTiming with someone, and in the background, someone spots the tapestry and is like, hey, take that down. Maybe we can get some money for it.
I mean, that's as likely a story as anything else is.
Right. Meet me here. We'll go and talk to my dealer or something and see if they want it. And maybe she was only hurt by association. Like, not because she did anything.
Oh, I mean, I don't think she did anything regardless. You know, like, I don't think...
I guess that would also...
I don't think she realized she was walking into a bad situation.
I have to say, it would lead to... Someone else would have had to be missing or found dead for that to be true, too.
What do you mean?
Like, if I'm coming at this, like, she went with another person to get money for this tapestry to buy drugs or whatever it is, then if harm came to her, harm would have come to another person. So this would be a story about two missing people.
Oh, yep. I agree with that. I see your point there.
So that might not be the most likely scenario. So if something happened with the landlord, and I'm just going to say what I believe most people would speculate is that, like, an assault could have taken place with him. Like, that doesn't explain away the tapestry. Unless she couldn't afford rent, maybe, and she thought she could give that to him for rent money, and it made him really angry.
But why do you need to do that at 3 in the morning?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if you're gonna go do that for rent, why wouldn't you do that the next day? It doesn't need to happen at 1 in the morning.
What if this was a conversation that was happening earlier in the day, and then he's like, I waited for you all day. I'm pissed now. Get back here. Come to your apartment. If you don't have money, you're going to have to give me something. And she looks right behind her shoulder and she's like, oh, I can maybe give that. That's worth money.
I mean, it's possible.
But that doesn't explain all her stuff being like, oh, gosh.
I told you, nothing fits together.
Just when I think I've got something, the outliers get me.
Nothing fits together. You know, nothing, there's no, like, oh, we can fit everything except for one thing in there. We can't. And that's where I keep struggling.
Right.
Is like, okay, I don't know how we're going to do, you know, I mean, this is what I'm comfortable saying. I think it's foul play. I think it's more likely to be the roommate than the boyfriend, but I don't like either of them, and I'm not going to say it could be someone different either, you know? I'm not willing to say, like, oh, it's none of them.
Right. I guess I'm with you. Those seem, at a bare minimum, those are two people I'd like to talk more to.
I agree.
I think it's foul play. Don't think she left her life. I actually really don't believe it's sex trafficking.
I don't either, but I just had to bring
it
up.
Of course.
Because
I just think it's more weird that for once I'm like, no, I don't think so. But anyway.
I would agree with you.
That's kind of where I am. I don't have... You guys can see, like, I laid out some solid theories, and I can't explain away some of these outliers. So the best that I can tell you all is I think it's foul play, and I want to talk more to those two guys. And
I'd like them to be more helpful.
I would like them to be more helpful, yes, yes. And that's all I've got. But you said before when we spoke earlier, Melissa, like, this was a listener suggestion.
Yes. Someone actually emailed us and was like, I'd love to know what your thoughts
so
are.
So you tell us your thoughts on this.
Yeah, thanks for this, because I don't know what my thoughts are, because none of this makes sense to me in my head.
Right.
So I don't appreciate this case suggestion.
I know what you mean, Melissa, and I hope our listener knows that we're kind of teasing. We love
this
stuff.
Yes, I am teasing. I appreciate you suggesting it. I appreciate you letting me go down the rabbit holes that exist. I will say one of the things she has said in her email is Is the tapestry too small to transport a body in? My answer to that is yes. And if you're just trying to transport a body, I don't think you're, like, cutting the glass to take it out. Like, wouldn't that be more of like a, oh, let's just use that, smash that and grab it?
Or just grab a towel, grab a sheet off a bed.
Right. I just, that would be my gut instinct.
Okay. All right.
But thank you very much for the suggestion.
Totally. And you all let us know your thoughts as usual and your theories. And that's all I've got this week.
Me too. We'll be back next week with a whole new case.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.